Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, David Slack.
Morena, Johnny.
Now, okay, we're going to start this morning. There are some recent political polls out which have put Christopher Luxon behind Chris Hipkins. Where do we start with this?
He's quite the overachiever, isn't he? Yeah. Usually somebody who's been a prime minister for not much more than a year is doing is still very substantially ahead, but he's managed to rush right ahead to where you might be sitting after a second or even third term as the prime minister, and people are sick of you. People appear to have got sick of him quite a lot faster.
Now,
go on.
Luxon has played down the poll numbers, but historically, how predictive are these midterm polls for the next election?
Quite a lot, actually. Especially when it forms the narrative, and that's the same phenomenon that worked for him in the other direction coming up to the last election. You know, he didn't necessarily have a whole lot going for him, but he got really talked up by the media, and people got excited about where things might be going in the polls. And it can become a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people are not necessarily carefully analysing everything or paying attention to every last detail, but they are hearing broad things like, oh, this government is slumping, or these polls are not good, or this government's not looking too good, it can become its own momentum, and that's, you know, quite the danger for them now. But, you know, narrative isn't everything. It's also how people are feeling about the way the government's working, and this one's not. It's a cobbled together coalition of several respects diametrically opposed positions between New Zealand First, Stand, ACT, and you've got a guy who was so desperate to make the thing work that he's indulged them to an extent that you don't normally get in the relationship between the major and the minor parties, and you're seeing the consequence of that, and people are seeing the kinds of things that the minority parties are getting away with and saying, well, it's not what we're into. It's not what we like. And then, on top of all that, you get the Prime Minister himself, who turns out to be not nearly as good a communicator as media kind of implied he might be at the start, even though he never really showed an awful lot of capacity for it. But he's just never broken out of the attitude of the CEO, who is so accustomed to people saying, yeah, boss, great idea, that he cannot really see the need to behave in a different way once you're the leader of a country. And what that requires is that you understand many different points of view, and you find ways of bringing people along with those points of view, not necessarily caving into them, but finding a way to accommodate it so that everybody feels they're being listened to.
Now, moving along to this Global Investment Summit, which is happening at the moment, I believe it started this week. What is the government hoping to achieve with a Global Investment Summit? Is it essentially happening in the hope of securing private investment for infrastructure funding in Aotearoa?
Yeah, that's the essential point. That we don't have enough dough to invest in the infrastructure that we need, and we have failed to invest in infrastructure for the longest time because, you know, it's in many ways it's very unglamorous what you spend on many of these things because there's not necessarily a lot to show for it. And we don't because we didn't provide for the future in the way that we could have over the decades. We don't have the kind of capital base here that we otherwise might have.
What are the potential? Okay, both sides of the coin. What are the potential risks, and what are the potential benefits of relying on foreign investors for infrastructure projects?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You've got if you involve private investors in your infrastructure, then you're having a PPP, generally a public-private partnership, and sometimes these work quite well. Canada is a good example. They've had a number of very successful investments. UK, very much the opposite. They have had a lot of instances where the private sector came in and got involved in investing in, you know, things to do with roads and rail and various aspects of infrastructure. And the deal went sour and the government had to come back in and bail the whole thing out. So, you know, the whole object in the first place of the government not having to commit all the capital came undone. That's your downside. Your upside, potentially, is that especially if you've got a very complex sort of project, you, if you bring the private sector in and they've got, you know, real skills in mounting some of these huge projects, it can go well for you. And we had a tentative go at that with the light rail in Auckland. The a Canadian pension fund partner was potentially going to partner with NZ Super Fund and do a very complex project here. And because they'd done that before in Canada, there was quite a good argument to say they could achieve what we probably would not be able to achieve here just doing it as the state itself. But there are lots of ifs and maybes attached to all of that. And it can work, but it may not. But here's the real thing, Johnny. We have, and this hasn't necessarily been spoken about as much in the talk about the conference this week, we have huge possibilities with offshore wind power, with solar power. We could be transforming our economy with an abundance of that power. And to make that happen, you really do need overseas partners with a lot of dough and a lot of expertise in making those things stand up. So if we could make that happen, if that could come out of this conference, that would really be worthwhile. Whether it does or not remains to be seen, because what's being offered by the government above all else is a $10 billion motorway project, for, roading project for Northland, which is more of the 20th century infrastructure, really. So
is there much clarity on who's attending, which international firms are attending, and if there is a possibility of these green projects?
Oh, look, there are some big names, a lot of big names there, which I'll be honest with you, Johnny, I don't necessarily recognise all of them. But, you know, you've got a wall of money across the world that's keen to invest. The actual problem is that most of what we've got isn't actually big enough to get them excited, apart from the $10 billion for the Northland.
I see. With people... obviously providing capital for these big projects, that raises a question around how much influence these foreign investors could have on New Zealand's infrastructure priorities. How does a country like New Zealand, who needs the cash, balance their interests versus ours?
Yeah, well, that's kind of where you look to, in particular, Canada, because they astutely recognised those difficulties right from the start in many of their projects, and they've been a lot more careful at laying out the contracts and the arrangements in a clear-eyed and far-sighted way. And so what it inevitably means is you need good lawyers, and it's worth noting that to all of our big law firms are there for this conference, and you need the kind of lawyer who can say, let's look ahead and let's contemplate how this can really play out and work well to everybody's mutual benefit, and let's identify all the ways in which, you know, the private investor might have undue influence, and let's expressly say your job is this, but you don't get to do this. And, you know, with a good enough contract, all of these things can be achieved. But easier to say, but harder to do.
All right, one last question for you, David Slack. If the summit fails to secure significant investment, what do you think it would mean for the government's credibility heading into the next election?
this shiny credibility that we spoke about at the outset, that has people say, "My God, what a vision of a government." Well, yeah, not a lot.
Okay.
it would tend to underscore what is a rapidly accumulating and solidifying perception of incompetence.
Mm. Hey, David Slack, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. We will look forward to speaking with you in a couple of weeks.
Terrific. Cheers, Johnny.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.